Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity we have once again to assemble here in your house to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, as we continue this subject today on forgiveness, I pray God you would remind us, Lord, of what you've done for us and of what you also want us to do for others. Lord, have your will and way now in this service. Bless those that are sick, those that are hindered and can't be here today, those that are not even feeling good that are here today. I pray, God, you encourage them and strengthen their bodies today. Spirit of God, be our teacher now. Have your will and way in everything we say today and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 17, once again, verse 3 and 4. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent," what's the next two words?
Forgive him.
"And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt" what? Forgive him. Forgive him. Let's read it out loud together, okay? Verse 3 and 4. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now turn over one page, maybe a couple pages, chapter 18 in your Bible. Luke chapter 18 today. As you look at this example of forgiveness here, we see a parable here Jesus is teaching. And we see this parable is of two people, a Pharisee and a publican. A Pharisee and a publican. We see this parable is designed to convict us, if you please, of some who turn themselves to their own righteousness and therefore become critical. We see today, as we look at this, we have two people involved. We have two men. We have two minds. We have, first of all, a Pharisee, beginning in verse number 9. I'll read. Jesus says, "And they spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous, and despised others." First of all, we look at the Pharisees. Pharisees were separated ones. They were separated ones. We see they were religious political party, if you please, in Palestine at this time. He speaks of it in Matthew chapter 23. And they were also closely related to scribes and also Sadducees. So they're separated ones. We also see today we're going to talk about another group called the publican. And we'll mention him a little later on. But first of all, we find Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. These are speaking of the Pharisees. The Pharisees. We see this name, a parable of prayer. These verse 14 is a parable about prayer. We see also this also is a principle of prayer, how we ought to pray. And Jesus is speaking here and trying to encourage us to see this. First of all, we have two men. Verse 9 tells us about this. Verse 10 says, two men went up into the temple to pray. Now notice there's two men going to a certain place to do a certain thing. Two people are going to the temple. This was the place of worship in the days here of Israel. This is where people went. This was their main place they went to worship God. Like this is Fellowship Baptist Church where we come to worship God. They go to the temple to worship God. And it says that two men went to the temple to pray. Both came to pray. Notice that. Both came to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Two different men. Two different men went to the same place to pray. Okay? Now notice, if you get two men, if you get two women, no matter who it is, two people, you got also two minds, right? Two minds. People think different. People think different. So we got two men and we got two different minds here. Now notice, first of all, in verse 11, we look at the Pharisee. The Bible says the Pharisee, as he prayed, now he stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. This was the mind of the Pharisees. Verse 12 says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice here the Pharisee. He's speaking about who?
Himself.
He's also thinking about what about himself? His what? His righteousness. How good he is. How good he is because of what he what? Does. What he does. Okay? In other words, he's saying that what I do makes me righteous. My, what a lie that is. But he's saying, what I do makes me righteous. See, we see his pride, his arrogance here. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before a fall, and the Holy Spirit before destruction. But we see his pride here. This man, this Pharisee, one man that went to the temple to pray. He went there, and this is what he said. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, speaking to God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. My, what a statement to say. I'm not as other men. I don't do these things. I'm not an extortioner, an adulterer, an unjust, and even as this publican. He's trying to identify the man that's with him, okay, that went with him there. So we see he's self-centered. He's very self-centered, focused upon himself. And therefore, we find here he has a big need he doesn't realize. So we see here by his righteousness, his pride, his presumption of who this other guy is and who other people are. But we notice in verse number 13, the publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. My, what a difference in two men. Amen? What a difference in this man. We see the publican. We see his shame. We see his humbleness. We see his concern, his sorrowfulness for who he was and what he was doing and how he lived his life here. And we see, because of that, we see he asked for forgiveness. He asked for forgiveness. You know, the humble spirit is so important in our lives, to be humble before God. You know, you will have two men with two different minds. A Pharisee that was very self-righteous, he was proud. We have the publican who was very open and very honest before God and to God as he began to pray. Now, let's notice a little bit further. Both of these men, in verse number 10, both men went to the same place at the same time for the same purpose, to pray. Now, 45, 50 people, whoever's here this morning, all of us can come to the same place at the same time to do the same thing, can't we? To worship. Now, as we look at this man and his heart and his self-righteousness and all that, we see there's a reason here. We see the Pharisee was proud. He was so proud that he could not see himself, even the need to pray. To pray. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like somebody else. What a prayer. That's not a prayer, is it? He's literally announcing how good he is. I want you to know, God, I know how good I am, and I want this publican over here to know also that I'm good. He was literally bragging upon himself, you see, as he spoke out there. But the publican, on the other side, he humbled himself. He humbled himself so much that he realized that he must pray. He must pray because he had a need. He was lost. He needed to pray. I'm so glad today that when God's Word, used by the Holy Spirit, convicts us in our heart and helps us to see that we are lost, we need to be saved, there is a desire within us, not as our nature, but as the Holy Spirit convicts us, there is a desire within us to want to pray, to see our need to pray. You know, and here this man, he couldn't even see his need to pray because he was so self-centered. Now, I want us to notice this morning, first of all, these two men, the Pharisee and also the publican, and them addressing God, how they address God. First of all, we see the Pharisee here in verse 11 and 12. As he addresses God, first of all, he trusted to himself that he was righteous. He even spoke to God, I'm righteous. And other people there that were hurt him in the temple this time. He was bragging upon himself and how righteous he was. He was self-righteous. Now, self-righteousness, you know as well as I know, is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. We see, first of all, some things that self-righteousness will do. First of all, we see it leads to pride. It leads to pride. Look at me. Look at me. Now, not only does it lead to pride, but when self-righteousness gets to pride, we see something else that comes in. We see that it causes us to despise others. That's what he did. I'm glad, Lord, I'm not like these other people. Pride causes us to not like others. Pride causes, self-righteousness causes us to be that way. Self-righteousness also causes us to be critical. Critical of other people. Critical of other people. You notice a person that's always criticizing people, you can count on this, folks, that is a self-righteous person. They're self-righteous. This guy was self-righteous. It was all about himself. When he came before the Lord, or come to the temple, I should say, he was that way. And we find this is all because of pride. We also see pride prevents us from hearing from God. Pride will prevent us from hearing from God. This Pharisee didn't want to hear from God. This Pharisee wanted God to hear him. He didn't want to hear from God himself. But we see self-righteousness here. We notice, first of all, we find in verse 12, 11 and 12, he stood and prayed with himself. In other words, he was speaking there of himself. That's all. He was wrapped up in self. All about me and my. You know, how good I am, what I do, and all these things he talked about, you say. Now, his whole intent was upon himself. Was upon himself. We also see that he had nothing in his eye but himself. He was focused on himself. And we find because of that, of course, God didn't get any glory out of anything as far as he was concerned. He had nothing in his eye but self. He was not an extortioner. He was not violent, that is. The Bible says he was not unjust in any of his dealings. He treated people right. We also see that he fasted twice a week and he glorified God in his body. He thought fasting was glorifying God in his body, evidently. So we see here his intent, and as he addressed God here, he gave tithes of all his possessions. You know, this man was trying to do what he thought was right to accommodate God, to get God's best on him. It's kind of like you've heard before, and I don't like to use this word, but there's basically two religions in the world today. There's a do one and a done one. Okay? The do one is I'll do this to be right with God. The done one is to recognize I can't do nothing. Jesus did it all. See? And this guy here, he's trying to be a do one. If I do this, I'll be right with God, and God accept me the way I am. But I'm so glad we learned a long time ago that God does accept us the way we are as sinners. And we have to acknowledge that before God, and when we do that, he saves us when we do that. But here we see this man, as he approaches God here, he's very self-righteous. Self-righteous. He's full of pride. And we see because of this, yet, what happened? What happened? We see in doing this, he was not accepted. And we see why he was not accepted. He was not accepted. First of all, his giving God thanks seems to be a formality. In other words, when he came to the temple to speak to God, it was formal. It was formality. It wasn't a sincere, humble speaking to God. He was addressing God, letting God know how good he was. He was just saying something. You know, it's kind of like sometimes people reading a prayer. It's like a formality, you know, and all this. But nevertheless, we see he was very formal. He boasted of all his business. He boasted of what he had. He was a rich man, no doubt. He was a rich man. We also see that he trusted all that as his righteousness. What he had was his righteousness. You know, things in this world. We also see that he went up to the temple. Why did he go? The Bible says in verse 10, what it says, Two men went up to the temple to what?
Pray.
To pray. That's what the Bible says. But we'll see, did this man pray? He went up to the temple to pray, but evidently when he got there, he forgot his purpose. Because he won't pray, and he was announcing to God and everybody there how good he was. That's not praying, is it? That's not praying. So we see, when he got there, he forgot his purpose. He thought he had need of nothing. He had need of nothing. God help me and God help us, folks. Never get to the point that we get to where we don't think we need God. We need God every moment of every day. All the time we need God, you see. And this man, he got to the point that he needed nothing. And when he got to the point he needed nothing, he was very self-righteous. And there again, he began to despise people. He began to point his finger at people. You know, and what they were, what they did, what they didn't do. And all these things, you see, he thought critical of everybody but himself. Everybody but himself. He's okay, but everybody else is not good. Everybody else is not good. So we see here, he was much pleased for the fact when the publican began to acknowledge his wrongdoings, that excited this Pharisee. He was glad to hear that because he already knew that. You see, he was glad to hear this guy talk about how sorry he was, because the Pharisee already thought that himself, towards the publican, you see. So we see as this Pharisee addresses God, we see that he was very arrogant. He was very self-righteous. We see he was not accepted, though, because of his attitude, because of his arrogancy, because of his pride. All these things that were in his life, he was not accepted. He was not accepted. Verse 14 tells us that. I tell you, this man went down to his house, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, that is, lowered, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So we see here, this man's address as he addresses God, he had a lot of problems, didn't he? He was a Pharisee. Now, let's look at the publican's address before the Lord. In verse 13, the Bible says, and the publican. Now, the publican was a tax collector. Okay? A tax collector. And we know that tax collectors are not the best people you want to associate with, right? But this guy was a publican. He was a tax collector. You see here. And his acceptance with God. And notice here, verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Now that tells us that he was not there right with the Pharisee. He was standing a ways off. We don't know how far that was. But would not so much lift up his eyes to heaven. But smote himself on the breast. That is, looked on his breast. Focusing upon himself. He's trying to identify me. Me. You know, I need God. You know, I need God. You know. Identifying himself, smote himself up on the breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, those are sweet words to God. I believe that with all my heart. When people, his creation, calls out to him and cries out for mercy. That's a heart that is broken. That's a heart that realizes their need. That's a heart that realizes that God is the answer for their need in their life. Now here's a man that expressed his repentance. He expressed his repentance with humility. He was humble in what he said. You know, look at David in the book of Psalms, and all tells us this, that God likes a broken and a contrite heart. He likes us to be humble before him. And when we come and humble ourselves before him, God is going to hear us. He's going to answer our prayer when we do that. But notice, first of all, he stood afar off. He stood afar off. You know, often wonder why he did that. Why did he stand afar off from this Pharisee? You know, maybe he didn't want to be identified with him. I don't know. But the Bible says he stood afar off. He would not lift up so much his eyes to heaven. He was a very humble man. He was very broken, realizing his need. He came to the temple. He comes to the temple to mean business with God. He didn't come to the temple to exalt himself. He came to the temple to humble himself and get what he needed. He needed something from God. This Pharisee, he didn't need anything from God, did he? He had it all. He had it all. But we see here, this man would not even lift up so much his eyes to heaven. He smote upon his breast. He beat, he smited, he thumped, again to identify himself. Lord, this is me. I want to talk to you personally, you know. He expressed it in what he said. He expressed his repentance in what he said. Notice he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, he claimed himself as a sinner by nature. He was a sinner by nature, by practice, and he was guilty before God. We're all sinners by our nature, aren't we not? Behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin, did my mother what? Conceived me. We're all sinners by nature, we're all sinners by practice. And we all are guilty before God. And this man acknowledged that before God here in the temple. And we see he's dependent only upon the mercy of God when he cried out to God. Lord, I'm here just to call upon you. I don't care nothing about what this guy said, this Pharisee. I'm focusing on you, God. I'm focusing on you because I have a need. I have a need. You know, that should be our desire every time we come to church. God, speak to my heart. I have a need. I'm sure other people have needs. We need to pray for them. But when we hear the word of God preached to us, taught to us, God, what are you saying to me as an individual? Because the table is set, folks, when we come to Sunday school church. God's word, it's an amazing thing to me how God's word can speak to every heart that's here and supply every need this year, even though every need is different. The Word of God can penetrate and meet every need at one time. That's the power that's in the Word of God. See? And we see here that this man, he expressed it in what he said. He claimed himself as a sinner by nature, by practice. He depended only upon the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Again, it's only by the mercy of God that we even hear today. It's only by the mercy of God that we can have the opportunity to go to heaven. To be forgiven of our sins. The mercy of God. The love of God. You know, we can't explain the love of God, can we? But thank God we can enjoy the love of God because of what he's done for us. In offering his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. He prayed for that mercy. God, he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized himself as who he was, a sinner. He recognized God as who he was. He was a merciful God. And he needed the mercy of God. The mercy of God. So we see here, he expressed his repentance with humility here of what he said. We also see the publican's acceptance now with God. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Talking about the publican now. He went down to his house justified. I like that word justified, don't you? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, because God forgave him of his sin. He went home happy. He went home rejoicing. He came for a purpose, and God fulfilled that purpose in that man's life because he prayed sincerely. The Pharisee, he went home just like he was, just self-righteous, just like he was, just like he come. You know, we see sometimes maybe God will help us. God, when I go to church today, when I go to your house today, please help me, God. Speak to my heart. Lord, help me not to come home the way I went. Help me to be better. You know my needs. You know what I need in my life. You know what I need to change. All these things, ask God to help us to be better. To be better when we come to God's house. But we see his acceptance with God in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Rather than the other. And again, he says right here, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. This man, he humbled himself before God, and we see what happened to him. Our Lord Jesus assures us that this poor, penitent, broken-hearted publican went to his house justified rather than the other. He assures us that. He tells us that. It's just like when God saves us, praise God, we got assurance, don't we? We got assurance when God saves us. I know the day I was saved. I can take you to the place. I can tell you the time when God saved me. I'm not boasting about that, but when God saves somebody, bless your heart, you know it. You know about it. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt. It's there. Just like he did this guy. This guy went home justified. He knew what God had done for him. He was praising God for that. Would God give him that assurance that he was saved? He was saved. We see the power of God's grace here in bringing out good out of evil. The Pharisee came in boasting about all his pride and all this stuff. And now here the publican comes in, and God miraculously changes things. He brings out good out of what this bad was started. Isn't that the way God does us? We're all bad, but by his grace, we're saved. And it changes. It changes, you see, because of the grace of God. The power of God's grace here is bringing out good out of evil. We see the greatness here. The greatness of the publican's sin brought out the greatness of repentance. Repentance. The greatness of the publican's sin brought out the greatness of his repentance. You know, it takes the same grace to save me as it does you. It takes the same grace to save us as it does that drunk out there on the street today. The same grace. But there's rejoicing, no matter who it is, when they get saved. But you know, sometimes, like when we know maybe the life of somebody, life they live, we've been praying for them a long time, how God miraculously saves them, there's much rejoicing when we see somebody that's been living a life of sin and, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they get saved. What a glad day that is to rejoice in the fact that God has changed evil to good. And this is what he did here to this man here, of this publican. The publican obtains the remission of his sins because that's why he came. That's why he came to God, to be forgiven of his sins. The Pharisee, he came to announce to God how good he was. He got nothing. He left. He didn't even know. He left the same way he came. You know, it's my prayer when I come to church, and I won't leave the way I came. I won't leave the way I came. I want something from God, a nugget, a something from God to help me in my life when I leave God's house, you see. So we see here, the publican obtains the remission of his sins. Proud men will exalt themselves, and they are rivals to God. They're against God because God hates pride. He hates pride. That's one of the many things that he does hate. But we see humble men, they are subject to God, and they shall be exalted. They shall be exalted. Humble men. I'm amazed as we see men of God that's been preaching the Word of God for years, how humble they are. I think of men like Lester Roloff, Mays Jackson, Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson, to me, probably was one of the most humble men I've ever heard preach publicly. He was humble. And every message he preached, it doesn't matter if he's a 3-year-old in that class or a 93-year-old, they can all understand it. He was just that man. He had that gift that God gave him. He was a humble man. Tom Williams, he's a humble man. He's been through a lot in his life. He's lost 2 wives because of sickness. He's married again. He's still going. He's 88 years old. He's still going for God. He's a humble man. He's a humble man. See, a humble man will be exalted, but proud people will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. Notice, his prayer should be our prayer. Notice his prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a who? A sinner. A sinner. You say, Brother Keith, I'm saved. Well, we're still sinners, aren't we? We still need to ask for forgiveness. Time and time again. Probably every day. His prayer should be our prayer. We all recognize we need God's mercy every day. If you want for the mercy of God, we couldn't make it. We could not make it. So we see examples of forgiveness here. Two men went to the temple to pray. One, when he got there, forgot his purpose. He began to boast about himself, what he had, his righteousness, and all that. But the other man, he humbled himself before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord. There's two minds, two minds. And we see here this today. We see the Pharisee and his righteousness. We see the publican and his repentance. His repentance. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ, he's paid it all for us. He paid it all. I was looking at that song and I didn't know what the page was here. That's a wonderful song to me. He paid it all. He paid it all. I'm glad today to know that Jesus paid it all for this publican. He paid it all for you. He paid it all for me. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ satisfied my sin debt when he died on Calvary. And I'm thankful for that today to know that. If I can find that song, I want to read it today for you. Page number 3. Look at the hymnal. Page number 3. Talking about forgiveness. Examples of forgiveness. Aren't you glad today to know that Jesus still saves? Jesus still forgives? He forgives people that ask him to forgive them. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Lord, how indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand, in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for forgiving this publican. Thank God for forgiving you. Thank God for forgiving me. I thank God for forgiveness, period. And because we have been forgiven, who are we to be? Forgivers. We're to be forgivers also, you know. And God help us as we go out this week. God charts our course, our journey, where we go, where we face. And God help us to be what he wants us to be. Father, I thank you today once again for this example, this parable. Lord, you related to us today concerning the subject of forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven mankind of all their sins. Lord, it's hard for us to understand and comprehend. Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, that you are our example. And God, we know we can't be like you because we are nothing compared to you. But Lord, we're grateful that you have been our example and we are to strive with your help and by your grace to be more like you every day that we can. Father, I thank you today that you love us in spite of us. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9, your word, Lord, telling us that if we confess our sins, you are still faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all righteousness. And God, I pray today, Lord, as we look at this and these two men, their minds, their conditions, Lord, may you remind us, dear God, that we need your mercy, we need your grace every day. Lord, we haven't arrived yet. We're still in this flesh. And God, we're going to fight battles. We're going to have battles to fight every day. But God, help us, Lord. Give us the victory we can have in Jesus. Because, Lord, we've heard your word and we claim your word to be what we ought to be in our life. I'm so glad today to know, Lord, that you still save souls. Lord, you still call people to preach. Lord, you still bring conviction to people when they come into your house when the word of God is preached and taught. God, you know the hearts of people in this room today. I don't know. But God, I pray if there's a need that you would help them to come before you and ask you to help with that need today. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you now for the opportunity to be in your house. Bless the next service. Have your will and way, the songs and the preaching. Bless our preacher. Give him that power, anointing he needs to preach your word. And we'll thank you for what you do today. In Jesus' name, amen.